John chapter 16. I'm so glad to see you this morning. I had one of my teenagers long time ago when I was a youth pastor ask me, "Brother Brian, what's your favorite day?" Thinking it was my day off. And I said, "No, my favorite day is a Sunday." Not only because I get to get up here and stomp and snort and make you feel guilty about things. No, it's got nothing to do with that. I get to teach the Bible, but I get to be with my family. My family has always been thousands of miles away. You are my family. You're my family. And I so greatly appreciate you being here this morning. And I'm glad that I get to see you. I'm glad we get to rub elbows one with another. I'm glad we get to hug and be a part of something greater than us this morning. John chapter 16. Jesus is speaking with the disciples. One of the last things he tells them in the upper room. And I think it's something that we need to take to heart. Now, we talked about this in our Sunday school class very briefly. But we talked about this morning. John chapter 16, verse number 29. John 16, verse number 29. His disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverbs." So in other words, he is now getting to the brass tacks, to the bottom line, saying, "Here's how it is, fellas. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and who needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." I kind of think Chuck when I hear Jesus' answer to them. "Do you now believe?" He says, "It's taking this for you to believe me? Behold, understand, pay attention. The hour comes, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." You're going to abandon me, he said. "And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." He says, fellas, up to now, you've had it pretty easy. Up to now, things have been going the way you wanted it to go. But one day, you're going to be scattered. Matter of fact, one day, you're going to abandon me and leave me. Now, I'm sure when he said that to the disciples, and their minds are thinking, oh no, what's coming? But I love what he says the next. These things, everything that I've taught you all these years that we've been together, these things have I spoken unto you. That why? Number one, that in me you might have peace. Underline that word or that phraseology, in me. You only have true peace in Jesus Christ. You can't have true peace anything other than Jesus Christ. You've got to have him. He says, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. He says, you have peace in me, but guess what? In the world, you're going to have tribulation. It doesn't say maybe. It doesn't say might. It doesn't say if you make enough money. It doesn't say if you do good. He says, you're going to have tribulation. But if you've already established me, and that peace comes from me, when the tribulation comes, you still have me. But here's the victory. But be of good cheer. Choir, be of good cheer. Now, that doesn't mean wear a fake smile like Carol did, right? It doesn't mean you got to walk around with a big old fake smile. Oh, but that's not what it means. That cheer comes from having peace. And why can we have that peace? Because Jesus said, I have overcome the world. 199 mass shootings in this physical year. 199. And that's the only one we know about. People killing people. It's got nothing to do with the guns, okay? So I'm not going there. I believe in the legal representation or owning a gun legally. We need to continue to do that. It's the heart that the problem is. The knifings and the murders and everything. Brothers and sisters, we have tribulation. We have problems. But be of good cheer. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have peace. And Jesus Christ has overcome the tribulation of this world. The victory has already been won. Trust the victor who has won it for you. So this morning, let me ask you a question. Consider this in your heart this morning. Don't answer. But do you have tribulation today? You got tribulation today. Are you hurting? Are you scared? Are you confused? Jesus said that was going to happen. But he also said, be of good cheer. I've overcome that. You have peace with me. So this morning, let's thank him for that peace. And let's ask him for the strength to overcome the tribulation in our lives today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. God, I understand and realize that we have tribulation almost every single day of our lives. I've shared personally on Wednesday nights with our precious folks that I just want one day maybe free of tribulation. One day, Lord. But Lord, sometimes it doesn't happen that way. But God, when I know you, then I know peace. And I can trust you that you're going to do what needs to be done. Lord, help me. Help us in our times of unbelief. Help us especially, God, in times that we can't see you. But Father, help us also to learn from what has happened. Help us to grow and mature in you so that we may in turn help somebody else along the way. Because you have overcome the world. You have strengthened us. You live inside of us. Help us, Father, to walk with you, to glorify you and to minister to other people. Let us not waste anything. The time is drawing near. Help us, God, to tell others and live for you. I pray for my brothers and sisters right now who have broken hearts, mentally hurting, physically hurting, spiritually hurting. Oh God, please, please speak to our hearts and draw us closer to you. Pray for the precious soul this morning that may not know Christ as their Savior. May today be that day for them. Oh God, we need you. Thank you for loving us in spite of us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on up, Scott.
So, here at Victory Baptist, we have the privilege of supporting missionaries through Faith Promise, and we'll be talking about that as we go and have more emphasis in a few months on that. But what that is you give by faith over and above your tithes in order to support missionaries, and that's how we do it. If you look in the back there, there's letters from missionaries, and that's where I draw these stories from. And so we have the privilege of supporting one of those is called Crossroad Rescue Mission, and they're a rescue mission for people that are addicted to chemicals, and this is in Shelby, North Carolina. We've been supporting them a long time, and I just wanted to show like a very personal story, a testimony of a young lady that went to the Quiet Heart, they call it the Quiet Heart Women's Rescue Mission, which is part of Crossroads Rescue Mission. So Dawn Boyd is a 38-year-old woman with a 5-year-old son, and she said, like Jesus said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. She said, only by God's grace can I share this testimony that I'm going to read right here. So she grew up with religion, but that religion didn't tell her that you need a personal relationship through Jesus with God. And so she knew, she did learn in that religion that it's not okay to do drugs, but she had the draw. She just said, well, if I'm a good person, then it's okay to do drugs and do whatever you want, as long as you're a good person to people. And then, but before she knew it, she found herself as a 38-year-old woman with a 5-year-old son that was addicted and spiraling out of control and married to an abusive man. And so she was at that point, like, we may not all be able to relate to someone who's in that position, who's, you know, addicted to drugs and going down that path, but listen to what she was captive to, and we can all relate to this. So let this be personal. I was captive to addiction, like I said, maybe not all of us, but to guilt, shame, fear, and embarrassment. So we can all say amen to that sometime of our life, right? And so let's make that personal. We want to be set free by Jesus like she was. So, and she had thoughts of just being dead. Her life was so terrible. Her son was taken away. She hadn't had her license for 10 years. She was on the streets. And she said, I give up. I got to do something here. And she went to the Crossroads Rescue Mission, the Quiet Heart Ministry. And so she went through the program. So it's an in-house program. She went through and got set free by the grace of God. Amen. And through Jesus.
Amen.
And so she says, I am no longer lost in any sense of the word, nor am I captive to this world or my flesh.
Amen.
So that's what we get to be a part of when we give to missions.
Amen.
And I praise the Lord, I never have to be there again. So she got her license back after 11 years. She got custody of her son, Caleb, who had been separated for 10 months. Can you imagine? Your son is gone, no license. Your life is, she wants to be dead. And now, listen to what she's doing. The Lord has opened the door in August of 2021 for us to move to St. Augustine, Florida, to attend ARC Biblical College. I work for ARC Youth Ministries full-time as office manager, too. And she's been on a mission trip to New York City in 2021, and she was able to lead 2 young people to the Lord in the Bahamas in 2022.
Amen.
And now she has just recently got back from Colombia that she went to in March. So now, not only has she been set free, but now she's going out and doing the same. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
So that's what we get to be a part of when we support missionaries. So
Amen.
Let's pray for the Crossroads Rescue Mission, and let's pray for Don to continue on for the Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give, and yes, we thank you that you're our awesome God that sets us free from guilt, shame, and disaster of life, but most importantly, just our sin and separation from God. And we thank you that you've put Don and her son back on the path with you, Lord, and we pray that many, many, many more would have that opportunity to be saved here and through the Crossroads Rescue Mission. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Scott. Gentlemen, come on forward. Took up our offering this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord. And come on down. Amen. I got one, two, three. I see one more. There he is. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Brother Danny, way up there on the instrumental, would you pray for the offering, sir, please?
I kind of love Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for this day and bless us with. We thank you, Father, for the blessing and the privilege to give to you.
Father. Yes.
Pray, Heavenly Father, that you just bless this tithe and offering. Father, that your will be done and ever. Your glory and your honor. We pray you have a follow up for the day of this service. We will bless each and every one. Help us be what we could use this in Christ's name.
Amen.
Thank you. this course together today that Miss Doris has picked out. She said she woke up singing it this morning.
Amen.
So we're going to sing it this morning. The song is, "This is the day that the Lord hath made." So we'll wait just a second and pull it up on the screen. "This is the day that the Lord hath made." So we're going to sing it.
You're going to have to play it.
Fellowship, the choir's going to come down. Children can be dismissed to children's church. Got a book this morning. 110 in your book. 110 in the church hymnal, Heaven's Jubilee. 110. And some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. Rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise. It is for the mission said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Maybe see.
Amen.
Did y'all hear that? There's a train coming.
Playing the guitar. I can't even walk and chew gum at the same time. Amen. Thank you, Alan. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Open your Bibles up, if you would, to John chapter number 21. John chapter number 21 this morning. My note card is missing, but that's okay. There's an old question that people sometimes ask. If you could have dinner with anybody from history, who would you have dinner with? And I remember that time, that question being asked of me. And since I'm a pastor, they assumed that I would say Jesus Christ. But I didn't say Jesus Christ. And here's the reason I didn't say Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to see him. And so this is not hyperbole about what I would do. No, I'm going to see Jesus Christ. So I don't have to worry about trying to have dinner with him. I'm going to get to be with him for eternity. So who would I pick? Who would I pick? Over the years, it's changed over and over and over again. of who I would pick and who I would want to have a conversation with. But recently, there's one name that came to my mind, somebody in history, and that is W.C. Mueller. Who is W.C. Mueller? That is my great-great-grandfather. Now, we say, well, what's the big deal about him? Well, he's the one that established a soda pop museum or soda pop place up in Chicago. That's why we went up there to see the museum based upon a family there. But he picked up his family and left and moved to New Mexico. That's how I got to New Mexico. That's how I was born in New Mexico. But the reason I would want to sit down and talk with him is because I would want to know what life was really like and having to deal with moving and all these kinds of things and going to a strange new place. See, because unlike a lot of you, a lot of you know your family heritage. A lot of you are from this area. Matter of fact, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a family member around here. Okay? You can tell me, hey, my family's up on Cooper's Creek, or my family's from here, or my family's from there, and you can tell me I'm related to this. Probably half this church is related to one another. And that's okay. But in my case, I don't have that privilege. I hardly know where any of my family came from. And so I would love to sit down and talk with him and understand and realize where I came from. What made me and makes me what I am. I would love to have that privilege of talking to him. Conversations are important. And I'm not just talking about superficial, hey, how are you doing? I'm talking about deep conversations, getting to know one another. Now, this morning, we're going to look at just one such conversation. I love reading in the Gospels especially, and in the book of Acts, when people are gathered together and they're talking. Because you can sense their heart, and you can sense where they're coming from. So I want us to look, and we're going to break down a particular conversation that Jesus had with somebody. Because I can place myself in the position that Jesus was having this conversation with this person. And I want to talk about all the ins and outs and the background of this. So look at John chapter 21. We already talked about this a couple weeks ago, about Peter taking and going fishing and all those kinds of things. And we got to the point where the men had come on shore and Jesus had fed the meal for them, had prepared it for them. So I want to pick up verse number 15. John chapter 21, verse number 15. Let's look at this conversation, because I find myself here, as many of you may find yourself here. So when they had dined, Jesus and the disciples, Jesus said to Simon Peter, now they're still sitting around eating, and he looks at Simon Peter. Now remember, Simon Peter is already racked with guilt. Just a few nights before this, he had denied Jesus Christ three times. He had already said, I don't know that man. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he used some words that were not properly to be used out loud. And he already denied Christ three times. And so I'm sure that Jesus, sitting there in presence of Peter, Peter was very scared, afraid what the conversation was going to be. So he says, Simon, the son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Peter, do you love me more than your fellow disciples? Peter said to him, yea, Lord, you know that I love thee. He said, feed my lambs. Now, when Peter says, you know, Lord, of course Jesus knew. So what was Jesus looking for? Information? Was Jesus wanting Peter to clue him into something that he didn't know? No. Jesus is trying to get Peter to understand, this conversation I want to have with you, Peter, is more than superficial. We have enough superficial conversations in our lives. And this is what I mean. How are you doing, brother? Oh, I'm just fine. How are you doing, sister? Oh, I couldn't be better. L-I-E. We're afraid to really open ourselves up to people. It's surface. When it's obvious something is going on, when it's truly, truly obvious that something is hurting, something is wrong, we're so afraid. We want to keep it at the surface because we've been burnt. Probably because things that haven't gone the way we want them to go. Sometimes we're afraid. And we're so afraid to go deeper. Peter's afraid to go deeper because he knows the conversation that Jesus wants to have with him. He's afraid of what Jesus is going to tell him. So he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, you know that I love you, Jesus. Okay, then feed my lambs. Do what I've told you to do. Look at the second time he says. He said it to him again the second time. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Jesus started out superficial. Now he's getting a little bit deeper. Peter was grieved because he knew that he wanted to go deeper. May I tell you, this is the level of conversation that we should be having with people who are hurting. But we're so afraid to get to this level. We like the superficial. I'll tell you that I'm good, but just leave me alone. But this is the level that we need to get with one another. Hey, I'm not doing so good. There's something really bothering me. You know, that's what I love about our Sunday school class. I'm not talking about the other Sunday school class because I don't know how y'all operate. But in our class, and this morning, we spent 35 minutes getting to know each other, sharing our hearts and our needs with each other. In a safe place that we can really talk, not just superficial, but getting down where we need to be. Is Jesus looking for information? Absolutely not. But he's trying to get Peter to understand. Peter, life is more than just the surface. Peter, let's deal with what's really bothering you. Do you love me, Peter? Yeah, you know that I love you. Jesus answered him, feed my sheep. Now, when he's saying here, he's saying, okay, you're taking care of my lambs. Now what I want you to do, Peter, is I want you to shepherd my people. Verse 17. He said unto him the third time, Peter? No, he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. He wanted Peter to realize and understand that life is more than just superficial. I don't believe that we can honestly serve the Lord until we honestly realize how broken we really are. May I tell you and confess to you this morning, I am a broken man at times. I had to get to a level in my life where I could not save myself. Oh, 21 years of age, 6'1", 180 pounds, I could dunk a basketball, I could run fast, I could get up without my hips hurting. My clothes fit like they should. I had hair. I had the world all figured out. But everything in my life was superficial. And I never wanted anybody to get deep. I just trusted Christ as my Savior. And I thought, you know what? Now I got everything that I need. But inside I was hurting and desperately looking for reality. For real life. To fill that open vacuum. May I share with you this morning? There's a lot of you just like that this morning sitting here. You want something to fill that empty hole. Jesus Christ is the only one that can do that. And when Jesus Christ fills that vacuum, that empty hole inside of you, He doesn't say, hey, it's going to be fine because I just showed you this morning that there's tribulation going to come. There's problems going to come. There's situations that you're not going to know how to handle. They're going to come. But guess what? Jesus said, I've overcome those things of tribulation and I'm going to give you the peace because your peace is only found in me. I was looking for peace in me. I was looking for peace in my friends. I was looking for peace in anything I could get myself involved in because I was dying inside of me. And I have a feeling that some of you are just like that this morning. You're dying and you're looking for something tangible, something to get through it. May I tell you, it's Jesus Christ. But it's not only Jesus Christ because He's the most important, but it's your fellow believers to walk with you in this. Now, He says, Peter, I want you to feed my lambs. Peter, I want you to shepherd my people. But then He says, Peter, I want you to go deeper. And I want you to teach my people what I've taught you. Now, up till now, Peter's done what he wanted to do, how he wanted to do it. If you go back and look at all the other conversations Peter had with Jesus walking on the water and Peter saying, I'm going to fight with you. I'm going to fight for you until I die. And all these things. Peter was very impetuous. Oh my goodness. He had foot and mouth disease. How many of you have foot and mouth disease? How many of you live with someone with a foot and mouth? I'm not going to say. Peter was always saying things to get himself in trouble. Very immature. Because life was all about Peter. If you look back and all the things that Peter and Jesus talk about, you see Peter. He speaks, but... Now Jesus tells Peter, Peter, that time has now passed. It's time for you to step up and be what I want you to be. Look what He says in verse number 18. Peter, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto thee, when you were young, thou girdest thyself. You took care of yourself. You clothed yourself. You took care of yourself. You did everything yourself. And you walked whither thou wouldest. He says, listen, you did as you wanted to do, Peter. But when you shall be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. There's going to come a time, Peter, where you're not going to be able to do these things yourself anymore. You're going to have somebody to walk with you. I remember watching a show one time, long time ago as a little kid. And it was a police show. And this has stuck with me. I guess this is why I have a love for police officers and firefighters especially. They were answering a call to an apartment complex. It was a self-inflicted gunshot wound is what it was. But they didn't know who it was. And they came into the apartment and they found that it was one of their own. And it was someone who had just retired the month before. Because he had no reason to live anymore. He didn't have a wife, didn't have any children. And he had just given up. May I tell you this morning, if you have Christ, there's no reason to give up. You're not alone. You may feel it. But you have Christ, but you also have other brothers and sisters around you who love you and want to be with you. Stop doing the Heisman. I can't do the pose. Ouch. Some of us are really good at doing the Heisman. Don't get close to me. Jesus told Peter, "Peter, guess what? You're going to have somebody else to help you." Brothers and sisters, you're going to have somebody else to help you. Not just when you get old like me, but you're going to need somebody else to help you every day of your life. "Well, Brother Brian, I've been let down." All right, let's take an honest poll this morning. Okay? How many of you have been let down? If you haven't got your hand up, liar, liar, pants on fire. We've all been burnt. We've all been hurt. Next question. How many of you have let somebody else down? See, here's the thing. We're all in the same boat. We need to walk with each other. Help each other. Isn't this deep? Verse number 19. "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me." He didn't say, "Peter, are you now ready to follow me? Are you ready to follow me now, Peter?" That's not what he said. Because honestly, if Peter was going to follow him, there's no way that Jesus would have asked him and told him these things if Peter was wavering. He looked at him and said, "Peter, you're going to die. And it's not going to be a pleasant way of dying. But because I am with you, and I'll always be with you, follow me." Can I challenge you this morning? Follow Jesus. In the good times, this is the day. Follow Jesus in those good days. But not every day can be a good day. Follow Jesus in the hard days. When you feel like crying and throwing books and throwing stones, follow Jesus in those days. Why? "Because I have given you peace," Jesus said. "You're going to have tribulation," he said. But he said this, "I have overcome tribulation." Follow Jesus in the good days. Follow Jesus in the hard days. But always follow Jesus every day. You say, "Why, Brother Brian? Why? What's the sense in it?" Let me give you the secret. Because somebody needs you. I have at times wanted to quit everything. Quit the ministry, quit my family, quit everything. I've had enough. Now don't look at me so piously. Like you've never thought that. But one thing keeps coming back to my mind. Or three things. Number one, God loves me. Number two, I love and need my family. And even though sometimes they don't love me, that's okay. But number three, He has gifted me so that I can be there for somebody else. You know why God's left you here? Not for you. For somebody else. Peter, do you love me? You know that I love you, Jesus. Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Jesus, you know. Tend to my sheep. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, God. Feed my sheep. Now, in some of your cases, feeding the sheep's got nothing to do with preaching or teaching a Sunday school class. It's got everything to do with something, by doing something for somebody else that they can't do themselves. May I tell you a secret this morning? It's just between us. Okay? Just between us. When you have Christ, He has gifted you with the ability and the talents to do something for somebody else. I'm about sick of this world being so about me, 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 I. Enough is enough. What about being him, him, him? See, Jesus knew what was in store for Peter. And He said, Peter, tribulation's going to come. But guess what? I have won the victory. You know what He's telling you and me this morning? Tribulation's coming. But guess what? I have overcome, Jesus said. Trust in me. Rely upon me. Now, there's one other short thing that Jesus tells Peter here real quick. Let me show you something. Verse number 20. Then Peter, turning around, he turned about, he sees the disciple. Now, the disciple is John, whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrays thee? So he's talking about himself, John is here. Peter sees him and says to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? What about him? You just got through chewing me out lovingly, but you chewed me out. No, he didn't chew him out. He says, you went deep with me, but what about John? It's John's turn. Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. What's he saying, Brother Brian? Here's what he's saying. Listen, you don't worry about what somebody else is doing. You just do what I've called you to do. Follow me, he said. Now, you may not be able to do what you used to do, but bless God, you can do something. Quit living your life on the pew on a Sunday morning saying that's all life is, garbage. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, get busy doing something. Living for the Lord at your house. Living for the Lord where you work. Living for the Lord at school. Living for your Lord every day of your life. It's enough of this. What can I get from this? And what can somebody do for me? No! Do for others. Well, so-and-so's not doing nothing. What did Jesus tell Peter? Don't worry about John. You just do what I've told you to do. I used to be jealous of these pastors that had 1,000 people and 1,500 and 2,000 members. Why can't I get that? The Lord spoke to me and said, son, you can't handle the truth. Yes, Lord. I've not called you to do that, he said. I've called you to do what you're doing. Yes, Lord. Quit comparing yourself to anybody else. Just do what God's told you to do. It may mean on a Wednesday night preparing meals and helping clean up. And by the way, we need some more strong backs and weak minds to work over there on Wednesday nights. Right, Donnie? We need some more folks to help serve the food over there. We need some more folks that won't throw kids against the wall working down the nursery. We need some folks that love children enough to want to be a Sunday school. Well, I don't know how to do that. Will you sit in with one of the Sunday school teachers and get trained? Can you imagine teaching a room of 18-year-old junior boys and not knowing how to teach? Whew, that was me. I hated kids. And I went to the pastor and I said, what can I do? I want to do something for the Lord. The Holy Spirit's drawing me. He says, I got the perfect thing for you. He put me in a classroom with 18 junior age boys. I praise God for a man named Phil Umber Jr. because he was the lead teacher and he took me under his wing and he showed me and he taught me. I still don't like junior boys. No, I'm just teasing. I love them. God has gifted you to do something. Start doing it. Enough's enough. I'm sick of this selfish world. Me, me, me. I. It's time that we start saying, Lord, 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 what can I do? This superficial Christianity, pfft. See, that's the only thing you're going to get from this morning. He spit. You know what? It's time for you to get off the pew and live for the Lord. And I'm not just talking in this building. I'm talking out there. Because they need you. Somebody needs you. I love you. But you know what? God loves you more. So let's love each other. Let's serve each other. Let's be real. And just be what God's called us to be. Now she's going to kill me for doing this, but it's okay. Miss Reva has been serving the Lord here in this church for years. Faithful service. And I praise God for that, Miss Reva. You're not able to do what you used to do. But you're able to do what you can do. What an example. I want to be like Miss Reva one day. As a male. I had to clarify that to make sure you understood. Do what you can do for the Lord at whatever stage of life you're in. And all God's people said,
amen.
Let's stand together. Jesus, do you love? Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? I don't know what kind of heartache you're going through this morning. I don't know what kind of pain you're dealing with this morning. But Jesus does. And this morning, I'm inviting you to come and give it to Him at the altar. I'm inviting you to come this morning and come and pray. I'm inviting you to come maybe this morning to surrender and ask Him, what do you want me to do, Lord? I'm sick of life being about me, Lord. I want to be about you again. Maybe you need to go deeper than just superficial. You know what it is. Game time is over. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, you know what our needs are. You know the tribulations of everyday life. Thank you for forgiving us and using us in spite of us. I'm asking you, God, I'm begging you, God, to draw people to you. I'm begging you, God, right now, speak to our hearts. May we be what you want us to be. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for loving us. In Christ's precious name we pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Come on, flood the aisles. Flood the altar right now. Just come on. Couples, friends, individuals, come on. Come on down. It's time. There you go. Come on. Come on. Just step on it.